Tuesday nights, I teach what I call more of the big picture. You know, some of the more bigger questions. And they may not, at first view, have a practical application. But taken over the whole, it helps you understand the Bible. On Sundays, I try and teach things that have a more direct application. But tonight, I'm not going to be teaching on the book of Daniel, the last part. I've decided to hold off on that until a little bit later in the year, when around September. And tonight, I thought I would teach on something that we all struggle with. At least I do. Amen. And that is choices. Choices. Amen. As I've said before, wouldn't it be great if we had a time machine and we could go back in time and change some of our bad choices? But that's not allowed. So, but what we can do is start making good choices today. Amen. Let me see if I can get this set up. Does anyone have a praise report while I'm getting this thing to behave here? Anyone had a praise? Go ahead. How much was it? Okay, amen. Just to remind everyone that this Saturday we'll be having a little kind of, it's not really an open house, but we'll be having some music, some singing, some food right out there to let the people in the neighborhood know we're here, amen, and hand out tracts. If you come, maybe you can give a testimony. We're not going to have singing for 3 hours, but we want to represent Rehoboth, so I just want to remind everyone, hoping for good weather from 11 until 2. And then in the evening, I've been asked to speak at a pastor's appreciation at the True Church. I believe it's of the firstborn. Amen. And that is Sister Connolly, Pastor Connolly's church. So those of you who can come and support, that would be good. You know, we can't work to get in the kingdom, but when we're in the kingdom, we have to work. Amen. It's not based upon what we do to get in, but when we are in, we are asked to do work. Amen. And I've had a busy week, but that's okay. Today's only Tuesday, and I'm saying I've had a busy week. Amen. God is so good. Amen. So I'm going to talk about choice. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua told the people when they came to Jordan and when they had were facing and going into the promised land, Canaan, that they had a choice. They had a choice. And if we look back on life, we've had choices. And most of the time, or a lot of the time, the choice that we make has been the wrong choice. Been the wrong choice. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You know, every day brings choices into your life. Who are you going to be friends with? When you're a teenager, when you're growing up, you don't realize how important it is the people you associate yourself with. They can either lift you up or drag you down. You know? And most of the time when kids, teenagers get in trouble, it's usually because of who they've been hanging out with. It's all silent in here. Is that amen or not? You know, it's who you've been hanging out with. They say you can't soar like an eagle if you're hanging around with turkeys. Right? Right? you can't do that, right? If you want success, you need to hang around with successful people. You can't hang around with losers. and be a winner. It's just not going to happen. Didn't the Bible say that two cannot walk together unless they agree? So one of the things, and I wish there were more people here tonight, one of the things we got to do is see who we're walking around with. Who have we chosen to hang out with, to give a lot of our time? In fact, some people give more of their time with friends than they give to God. You know, we're in church, what? If you're absolutely here all the time, 3 hours, 5 hours on a Sunday, maybe an hour and a half on a Tuesday, and an hour and a half, so that's what? 8 hours? 8 hours, maybe? You know? Some people choose to make the TV their friend. And you don't realize that you're programming your brain. All that stuff is coming in there. No wonder you have bad dreams and nightmares. Right? So we have to make choices. And we think it's just choosing whether we come to church. But there's more to it than that. It's who you choose to be your friends. It's who you what you choose to watch. It's what you choose to bring into your life. That all has a big impact on your living. And it can either make it hard for you or easy. You know? It can either make it hard for you. Now, sometimes we don't have any choice. We don't have any choice of the family we were born into, do we? You didn't choose your parents, did you? Some people aren't sure. You did? No, we had no choice about that. So yes, life sometimes does not give us the fairy tale. We weren't born in a palace. We didn't have it handed to us. But still, there is a choice of how you decide to do with what you've been given. Jesus gave the parable of the 5 talents, right? Not everyone got the same amount. One got one, one got two, right? One got 5 or more. So, no, life is not going to give you so that all of us end up with 5 talents. But what God is looking for is, what do you do? And what do you do with what you've got and where you're at? Have you made the most of it? Have you chosen to do it wisely? Who do you associate yourself with? Because, yes, we have no choice about our family. When we're small, we have to go where our parents tell us, right? We have to do what they tell us. But at some point when we grow up, we start to become accountable for the choices that we make. Amen. Joshua told the children of Israel, look, I can't force you. God will never force you to serve him. You have a choice. You have to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Amen. Whether you want to go back to serving, and you notice what he says there, the gods which were on the other side of the flood. That's a strange phrase. Now, the Bible scholars, the ones without revelation, will tell you, oh, that just meant the Nile. But I don't think so. I don't think so. Those of you who have been here when I've taught about the Nephilim, that's what he was talking about. Do you want to serve the fallen angels? Do you want to go back to serving the fallen beings that were on the other side of the flood? In Genesis 6? Or do you want to serve the gods that are now around, the gods of the Amorites? We have choices. You may say, I don't serve any god. Oh, yes, you do. That famous country, well, I don't think he's country, blues, Dylan, what's his name? Bob Dylan. He wrote a song some years ago, you got to serve someone. You're going to serve someone. When I was self-employed, I used to kid myself that I was my own boss. But it really wasn't true. I still had to give account to somebody. Somebody was paying me, and they wanted to know what I was doing. They wanted to know that I had done the job. So we can kid ourselves and we say, well, I'm not an idol worshiper, but you're serving someone in how you live, in what you do, and you can be manipulated. Did you know that? They have done many studies about what they call peer pressure. And some of them are hilarious. If I'd thought about it, I'd have brought some films to show you. Just to show you what peer pressure can do. In one of them, they had a whole bunch of people on a track. And all of them were in on the scam, so to speak. And the gun went off and they all started running. And then at a certain signal, out of the 10 runners, 9 of them turned and ran the other way. And the one guy was running, and then he looked back and couldn't wonder what's going on. You know what he did? Tell me what he did. He turned around and started running that way because of the peer pressure. And when they caught up to, when he caught up to them, you know what they did? They turned around the other way. Some of us will make friends make us stupid because we follow what they're doing, whether it's right or wrong, because we have not made a choice for ourselves. We're letting them choose the direction in our lives. Amen. Let's go on. What is it that makes choice possible? And I've got the answer up there. Time. Time. Because for there to be a choice, there's got to be a before and an after. There's got to be the passage of time. It's the dimension of time that gives us choice. But you know, there's coming a time when that dimension is going to change. When we go from the passage of time into eternity. And that's why when that happens, guess what? There will be no more choice. You understand? It's the dimension of time that allows you to choose. But when the angel, as I've been saying so many weeks, says, let there be no more delay, we pass from the ability to choose into eternity. Whatever you have chosen then is set. Whatever you've decided for your life and your course is set. The Bible in Revelation says then, let him that is filthy be, in other words, filthy still, then let him that be righteous. You see, there'll be coming a time when you got no more choice. The Bible says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. There's coming a time when God will say, okay, you've had your chance to choose. Now it's my turn. Now it's my turn. So it's the dimension of time. You might wonder, why do we have time? If we didn't have the dimension of time, there would not be the ability to choose. And God has given us that ability because he wants us to freely choose him. Amen. Because that's what love is all about, is you hope that person will of their own self. There's nothing more hurtful than wanting something from someone, you know, like they forgot your birthday, right? And you can't tell them because that spoils it. You see, you want them willingly to know that. You know, what's hurtful is if you have to actually tell them, well, you know, you drop them hints. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da, I can't sing. You know, you start singing that happy birthday song and wonder what the date is today. You know, but if you have to do that, it's almost defeating. You want them to freely choose. God wants you to freely choose them. And he's gone out of his way to drop hints. Amen. Let's go on. So the only reason that there can be time is so that there can be change. Again, if there wasn't no time, nothing could change. The way we define time is by looking at change, when that clock ticks. My wife has taught my grandson about clocks. Two things he knows really well now, if you notice him around the church. He knows about fans, and at the house he knows about clocks. And he'll come up to the clock and he'll go, he knows already that there is change, that there is a sound that goes along with change. The other thing about time is it gives us the ability to grow. Without the dimension of time, you can't grow. You would be always fixed like a photograph. When you look at a photograph, what you're looking at is a slice of time that was frozen. That was frozen. So if there was no time, that's how it would be. We wouldn't have the ability to change. We wouldn't have the ability to grow, and of course, we wouldn't have the ability to choose. Every day, we get fresh choices. I was talking to someone about that even today. Every day, we get the ability to write a new story. To write a new story. Let's look at this. Genesis 13. You all know the story of Abraham and his nephew Lot. And he was given a choice. They had grown so prosperous that their herdsmen couldn't live together in the land. And so Abraham, who was the older, should have had the first choice. But he deferred to his nephew and said, you choose, where would you like to go? And it says in Genesis 13, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Now, you learn something right there. If you start to choose based upon how things look, you're already going to make a big mistake. Because many times when we, you know, as I said, I bought some lemons when it comes to cars. They look so good. They know how to pretty them up when they're in the dealer's, on the floor. They look so nice. If you buy it based upon that without actually examining it, you're going to make a bad choice. So we see here that Lot was given the ability to choose. And the first thing he did was lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain. A lot of stuff looks so good. That's how they make movies. It's all fake, but it looks so good. You know, if you ever see those shows that they do showing you how they made the movie, they'll build a whole fake town in 6 months. Now, you can't actually live in it because it's not real, but from the camera, it looks real. If you were to say, man, that looks so beautiful, I wish I was there, and you go and you find that when you go behind, there's nothing there, it's just a picture. Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked. He made a choice. The first big mistake we make is making choices based upon our senses. And beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed it. The story was going good, wasn't it? Until it said before the Lord destroyed it, it looked pretty good. When we make a choice based upon the physical, we're almost doomed to make the worst mistake. People who make choices about partners based upon just looks are usually going to be in trouble. Why? That's right. Looks don't last. Looks do not last. I could show you a picture of me a few years ago, and I looked different. Sunday we went out, and Christopher had on that jacket, and he said this jacket he had when he was 16, and I was really telling him, wow, Chris, that's awesome that you can at 31 still be wearing a jacket that you had when you were 16. I thought he had the whole suit. Wait a minute, there's more to this story. See, there's more to this story. See, I was just looking at it from my eyes, and I thought, wow, that's pretty good. I couldn't wear anything close to being from 16. But then I got to questioning him a little bit more, and I found out, well, it wasn't the whole suit. It was just the jacket. The trousers were not when he was 16. I'm sorry, Chris. But he has it on me. I can't fit nothing that when I was 16. Amen. But we see that the first thing Lot did was lifted up his eyes. And when we buy stuff or choose stuff based upon what we can see, that's when we get into trouble. Wasn't that what got Eve into trouble? She saw that it was good for food. When you make your choice based upon your own judgment, that is what I called what? Anyone remember what I called that? The tree knowledge, right? Who said that? All right. You see, that was the independent judgment that man got when he ate of the tree. We start to make judgments based upon ourselves. It's the tree knowledge. And the tree knowledge is the truth, but as they say in court, it's not the whole truth, right? In court, they say, do you affirm or swear that you will tell the truth? And then they say, the whole truth, because you can tell the truth, but not the whole truth. Yes, he was driving a red car, but you left off the fact that the window was smashed out and the license plate was gone. So you told the truth, but it wasn't the whole truth. Physical choices by our senses are the truth, but they're not the whole truth. The whole truth is when God is involved in it. Because it doesn't matter what our physical says. If God says something different, that is the whole truth. Amen. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from another. See, he chose just on looks. And you know how the story goes. God was very merciful to him and delivered him out of Sodom, but it was just God's mercy because he didn't consult God. And the biggest mistakes I've ever made is when I just go do it. Like right now, there's something I want to do. Just confessing, there's something I want to get, and I'm thinking about it. So far, I've resisted, but you know what I really should do? I should say, Lord, what's your thoughts on this? Is this something that I should do? Amen. Imagine if we would do that. We sang the song last week, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry some things, everything to God. If we would do that, instead of using our tree knowledge to make choices, oh, our life would be so different. Amen. Now let's look at that. So moral choices can only be made based upon the knowledge of good and evil. See, a baby can't make choices of good and evil because they don't have an understanding. So when Adam and Eve ate of the tree, they gained the ability to make independent moral judgment, but they lost the ability to carry it out. Amen. It's this ability that is a blessing, but it's also a curse. That's why it's called the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Because you may want to, you may know the right thing to do, but if you can't actually do it, all it brings is condemnation and guilt. So a choice only really exists when, first of all, you know what the choice is, and then you have the ability to truly do it. So the Bible says that we are under sin because although we have the knowledge of good and evil, most of the time we don't have the ability to completely do right. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 7. When good is there, I want to do good, but sometimes I don't end up doing it. Someone gets on my last nerve. And this flesh gets the better of me, and I say something, and I wish I could take it back, but it's too late. The other thing that we should understand about the dimension of time, and is one of the worst problems that we have, is that you cannot change the past. You can't do like Superman, right? You can't go and fly around the world 3 times and reverse time. We do not have a time machine, as I said. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago, and I said, anyone remember what it was called? Forget about it. All right, we'll have to preach that one again. You took me too literally. You forgot about it. Amen. We can't do nothing about the past. You know, I was listening to someone just yesterday, the person who wrote the music for the movie Titanic, he died. And so they were having a discussion on the radio about him. And he was describing how he wrote the music. And he said, it was very difficult because you've got to make people fall in love with these characters when you know it's not going to have a happy ending. When you know, everybody knows the story of what happens to the ship. And yet you got to make people like the characters and believe that they can, you know, fall in love. And yet we know what's going to happen. We cannot go back now and stop the Titanic from sinking. You cannot go back in your life and do those kind of things. So all you can do is to make choices now. You have to live for the present. See, let's look at Adam's choice. God gave Adam choice, which tells us that we have real choices. Some people, when they go to court, they say, the devil made me do it. You can bet that guy that shot all those people, his lawyer is going to claim mental illness. In other words, the devil made him do it. He was on drugs or something and he had no choice. Yeah, he had choices. Maybe not at the last hour, but certainly at some point in his life, he made some choices that took him in that direction. Scripture says, we are inexcusable, O man. Well, nobody's going to get before God and say and be able to hand them a note. I got a note, God, that gets me out. You know, like we used to do at school? We'd bring a note, get us out of trouble. No one is going to be showing up in front of God with a note. Because God has already said, thou art inexcusable. The very fact that we know, and teachers and preachers even more so. I am going to be judged a lot harder because I'm supposed to know what it is I'm teaching you. Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. What this tells us is that God gave Adam choices. God gave Adam choices. That means that you have choices. You can say, well, I've been raised in a whatever situation. This is bad. I got no future. No, you have some choices. Maybe not a lot to start with. But with whatever you have, God is going to say, what did you do with the one talent? What did you do with the two talents? Maybe you don't have the five talents. You weren't born in the riches, but you have some choices, and we have to do with them what we can. God is going to give you some choices. He's going to see where your heart is. Let's look at what he did with Abraham. You know the story with that too. After so many years of wanting a child, God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son whom you love. See, God wants to see, who do you really want to choose? Are you only serving me because I'm blessing you? What if I take away the blessing? What if things start to go wrong in your life? Are you still going to be faithful? Are you still going to worship me? Amen? Are you still going to love me? Abraham, I want you to take your only son, and I want you to offer him to me on a mountain. And I've told you, the only thing that we know that Abraham never told anyone, because I bet you if he'd told his wife, she'd have said, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Sometimes when God wants you to make a choice, he's speaking to just you. If you start telling someone, they're going to mess you up. You will never go through with it because you'll be told, oh, that's not what it means. But if you know God has spoken to you and is directing you in a certain way, it's for you. Amen? It's for you. So Abraham, the Bible says, he took three young men and a donkey and his son. Now his son, Isaac, was at least 17 or so old. He wasn't a youth. But here we see the faith of Abraham, why God was so happy with him, because even though he could not understand what was going on, Lord, I don't understand why I've lost my job. I've been faithful to you. I don't understand why this person, my family member, is doing this. I don't understand why I'm sick, why the doctor says I've got cancer. I don't understand. But when you get to the place like Job where you have to make a choice, though he slay me, yet will I serve. His wife says, why don't you curse God and just give up? Can't you see God's against you? Or else none of this stuff would happen to someone who's being blessed by God. See, sometimes God is putting us through some testing because he really wants to see, why are we serving him? Are you coming here for social reasons? Is it because, you know, some churches that are 100 years old, the families just keep coming to the church. They're not really, you know, they just come because grandma used to come. Is that why you come? Are you coming to see someone? Are you coming because you know that there is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen. We're going to be given choices. And we see that Abraham was able to get through that choice. He was not wilted. He wasn't phased. The Bible says in Romans, it reveals the reason, because he believed that even if his son was dead, God was able to bring him back. No matter what choice we're facing, no matter how horrible it is, God is able to change the outcome. Amen. Let me show you another choice, and I mentioned this on Sunday about Solomon. And I said, sometimes we're not asking the right question. And I made the example of the commercial, the Geico commercial, where he rubs a lamp and the genie comes out and asks him, what would he like? And I bet most of us, before we would even say anything, money. Money. Now, true, the Bible says money answereth all things. But that same money could bring us a lot of pain. You know? Let me give you a scenario. No, most of you have lots of family members, correct? What would happen if you got $1 million suddenly? Your house would be full tonight. Hey, cuz, where you been? Do I know you? Yeah, I'm your second cousin from Aunt Lily over on the fourth. Instead of making you happy, that could almost tear some families apart. And it has. It has. You know, we think that it would just be money that would be what we want. And as you saw in the commercial, without thinking, he said, I want $1 million. And that's what he gets. He gets $1 million. We need to be asking God, Lord, I am too stupid to make the right choice. If God ever granted you such, ask me anything. And the truth is, he's doing that. But we are not asking him the right thing. We're either doing like Lot and making the choice ourselves based upon our tree knowledge. Well, this car looks real good. I've done that so many times. This car looks real good. And it wasn't. It's a good thing it had a warranty. That's all I can say. Or we're doing it, you know, out of pride. Or we're letting other people make the choices for us. But when you understand that you can do no wrong by letting God make your choice, that's what he wants, is for us to give him back the choice. In that night, 2 Chronicles 1:7, in that night did God appear unto Solomon. In other words, this was just like the genie. And said unto him, what? Ask what I shall give thee. Now what if God came to you and said, gave you that? I'll give you anything you want. Is that what we'd answer honestly? Let me answer to you. I would not have been asking for wisdom. Let me just confess that now. But God is actually telling us that. What are we asking God for? Are we not even bothering to ask him? We're just making our own choices. Because he asked for wisdom, God gave him everything else. Every single thing else. Solomon had more women than any player today. So let's put it that way. And riches galore, right? He had everything. But you know what you find out when that comes to the end of his life? He says, vanity of vanities. All of, he found out that the material things, like I taught on Sunday, the birthright, the physical things, do not bring happiness. Do not bring happiness. Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. When you know God is with you, when you truly have that belief, you can be happy. You can just relax. You can rest. But when you're worried and you don't know what to do, and you think that it's, you got to choose this, choose that, that's when you're getting in trouble. Let's look at this in a little bit more detail. 2 Chronicles 1. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge. Wow, that's deep. That I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? So instead of asking for money or that he would never lose a battle, he asked for just wisdom and knowledge. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You see, we've been asking God the wrong question. We've been asking him for a choice that isn't the right question to ask him. Lord, let me marry this one, or give me this job, or let me have this house. That's not the question we should be saying, Lord, this is what I would like, but nevertheless, not my will. When we get to that point of submitting our choice to God, our lives will start to change. Our lives will start to change. Let me show you God's answer to a good choice. Verse 11, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor even to live a long time, because that would have been a good choice. Let me live to 200. Someone in the Bible asked to live a little bit longer, and in the end, it brought disaster. Anyone know who? Hezekiah. He was about to die, and he said, Lord, please, I don't want to die yet. The Lord said, okay, I'll let you live longer. He lived 15 more years, but in that 15 years, he really messed up. He really messed up. And because of that, he brought disaster upon Israel. Look what God says. But hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, and thou mayest judge my people. Wouldn't it be good if we asked God something and he was pleased with us? There could be nothing better than when you ask God for something and your question makes him pleased with you. Can you think about that for a moment and meditate? What would it be that you could ask God right now that would make him say, you know what? I just have to fulfill that. Anybody got some ideas? Let me give you before. All right, go ahead. That's a good one. But remember what Jesus said one time when he came to Jerusalem just before his crucifixion? He said, behold, the fields are white and ready to harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest. Imagine if you said, God, make me a soul winner. Do you think that would make God happy with you? Instead of saying, God, solve all my problems. Solve all my problems. But when you ask God the right question, you will get the right answer. When you make God, the Bible says, when a man's ways please God. Wow. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee the riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there be any after thee the like. The Bible says that there has been no one in the world as rich as Solomon ever since. And you can calculate it in the Bible. I calculated it one time. He got 25 tons of gold every year. And he reigned for 40 years. And that was just the gold. Besides that, he had diamonds and silver. And they made shields, you know, armor out of gold. It was so much gold. They made the armor out of gold. He made 50 gold shields. He decorated his house, lined his house. Instead of like wood paneling, it was gold paneling. But the problem was, even with all these things, when you separate yourself from God, it doesn't matter how much wealth you have. It does not bring happiness. The point is, we have to make and let God make the choices. When we let God fight the battle, then you don't even have to fight. This same Hezekiah, who was mostly a good king except for this one bad choice he made near the end of his life. He had the Assyrian army come up. And instead of saying, okay, let's get a plan together. Okay, we'll station the troops over here. We'll plan an attack here. He took the letter and you know where he went? He went to the house of God and he just laid it before God and said, God, look what they're threatening to do. We can't stand before these people. God said, I got this. You've asked me the right question. You didn't try and handle this yourself. And so God said to him, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. When we start asking God the right question, making him our choice, nothing, hallelujah, is going to come into that choice that can go wrong. I'm telling you that. When you truly submit your will to God, that doesn't mean you're not going to go through some stuff. But it means he says, I'll never leave you. The three Hebrew boys made a choice. Hey, you can get out of this real quick. All you have to do is, and it's such a simple, innocuous thing, right? Some music, let's just kneel down and bow. We both know that we don't really mean this. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. And you can keep on going. They made a choice. Listen, O king. Whether God saves us or not, we are not going to do this. We value Jehovah too much. We are confronted every day. Tomorrow you'll be confronted with a moral choice. It may be a little thing. And the devil may say, well, this isn't anything. Nobody's going to notice. This is really not. You know how your mind starts to work to make it sound it's okay? Yeah. It'll tell you, well, you know, it's okay. It's not really bad. That's how the devil works his way in. Because he wants to take away our choices. It's not that he wants to give us choice. He wants that we have no choice. Amen. When I have decisions in life to make, I always get scared based upon my past experience. Now, I'm old enough to know how stupid I am. So now when I have a lot of choices, I get kind of, Lord, this is too much. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Same thing with Gideon. God doesn't want to work with a whole lot of you trying to work it out. Same thing when you come to a freeway, you know, and you got all these exits. And sometimes the GPS is confusing because it says turn right, but there's about five rights coming up and you're not sure which one it is. Inevitably, I take the wrong one. Jesus explained this, why a lot of people are going to miss it. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. When people have a lot of choices before them to sin, that's what they usually end up doing. That leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. I usually ask God, please take away my choice. Take away my choice, because if you leave it up to me, God, I'm going to do something stupid. Based upon life experience, I've made a lot of stupid things. I look back and I said, man, I wish I had that money now. Wish I hadn't bought that now or did that now. My wife has put up with a lot of stupid from me. She usually had, well, I don't know about that. I think you should think about that. I'll give her props for that. And I'll say, no, it looks very good. You know what I was doing? I was doing a lot. Man, this looks so good. This is what we should do. Now I'm old enough to know that I'm stupid. It took a while to learn that. But when we get to the place when we will humble ourselves, if my people that are called by my name, right, shall see, humble themselves, then God can heal our land. Amen. We need to make sure that every choice in our life, we give it back to God. Amen. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. The choice for life seems so constrained. You mean I got to come to church three times a week? You mean I got to pray? That doesn't sound like any fun. But when you love God, when you understand what God, when the reality of who he is has come, it doesn't become hard. It's not hard for me to be here on a Tuesday night. Amen. And you can ask those who were here 5 or 6 years ago. I used to come hundreds of miles in snowstorm, right? And I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you like it is. It was never hard. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy when God is using the word to build faith. The Bible says that few there be that find it, because it's you got to squeeze in there. It's straight. It's narrow. It constrains you. You don't have a choice when you become, what did Paul call himself most of the time? In the epistles, he starts off his epistles, I, Paul, a servant. In other words, a slave. Does a slave have much choice? But the difference is who he's serving. Amen. What Paul was saying is, I've given most of my choices to my King and Master. I don't mind serving him. I love serving God. So I can be a servant, a slave to him. I've given him my choices. When you become a servant of God, then he's going to direct your path. Because, as I've said so many times, most of us, when we look back on life, it's choices. Choices that we have made. Amen. The other thing about choices is, are you leading or are you following? Lord, this is what I want. Are you telling God what you want? Now, it's okay to tell God or ask God what you want. It's not okay to tell him this is how it's got to be. Someone I know, someone told me, God's got to do this or else I'm not coming back. God better do this or else I'm not coming back. That's not a way to start a conversation with God, right? No, somebody told me that. They said, God has got to do this. Well, you know, it's just wonderful, God's grace and his mercy. I would be so scared to get in God's face and tell him he's got to do anything. When he stretched his arms on Calvary, he did all. He's done all. Amen. Listen, we are called to be followers of Christ. David, the reason why he received so much mercy, he didn't try and do like Saul. Saul came to the prophet and say, okay, yeah, I know I messed up, but listen, honor me before the people. Come on, let's go and front this, okay? Let's pretend like nothing's happened. David said, I've sinned. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I renew a right spirit. He knew how to be humble before God. And that's why he wrote this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, are you leading or are following? Who's doing the leading? The shepherd. That means the choices of where you go to eat, the choices of where you're going to church, the choices of where you get your water, the choice of where you're getting clothed, belongs to the shepherd. Right? And I'm not speaking me, I'm talking God. If you want to say that psalm and mean it, then you're making a choice. David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Jacob could say, it's Genesis 49, the Lord who has been my shepherd my whole life long. My whole life. It was God that told him when to go back to his country. Did you know that? If you read it very carefully, God said, okay, you know, you've been at Laban too long. It's time for you to go. He didn't make that choice. God told him when to go. See, when you are making God your choice, he'll tell you when to go out, when to come in. Isn't that how the children of Israel went around in the desert? Until the cloud moved, they stayed right there. It didn't matter if it was a sandstorm or whatever. If the cloud stayed right there, they stayed right there. As soon as the cloud started to move, okay, let's pull up tent. The Lord is my shepherd. That's how they were led for 40 years in a wilderness. Because they gave the choice of where they were going to God. And even though they were going around in circles, they could have gotten frustrated and said, well, you know, we're just going around in circles. Still, God is leading them. There was a plan in what God was doing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. See, God will only do those things if you let him be your shepherd. If you have chosen to give him all your choices. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's when you can read this next verse, 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The only way you can fear no evil is if the shepherd is with you. But if you've gone off on your own, you ever been in a mall with small kids? You know, they're always trying to just run off on their own. When our kids were small, they all used to try and, you know, they would go into the toy shop, Toys R Us or something. That's usually where you could find them, maybe. You see, but we need to stick close to the shepherd. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. So when we come to making choices, we can't tell God what we can ask him. We have a right to ask. But then we have the obligation to take the answer. And it may be no, it may be wait, it may be yes. But God always answers. He has always answered me, I can tell you that. He has never in my life has God not answered me. I just want to, as my personal testimony, and I can't understand it other than I'm one of the greatest examples of his mercy, because I certainly don't deserve it. The other thing, a choice we have to do, as I said, is you have to take up a cross. If you want to do the following part, what does Jesus say? Anyone who's going to follow me must do what? Deny. What does that mean to deny yourself? What does it mean to deny yourself? Man, that church just has too many meetings. Man, they got this going on this night, this going on this night. I could be at home watching The Voice or whatever. I don't know. What are the? Is that on still? Okay. Oh, you know. Okay. You know, I said we do about 8 hours a week, and a lot of us are jealous of those 8 hours we come to church. Is that really if 8 hours, is that really denying ourselves? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, you know, we wonder why we don't see the miracles, the power, the manifestation. Well, if we don't invest much in it, you can't get out what you don't put in, right? Right? If 8 hours, we think that's a big deal. Man, I wish they were like other churches, only had one midweek service. No hands up, please. Please, I'm not looking. Let me confess, sometimes I've thought that too. Lord, I'm tired on, I just, you know. But then I think of what God has done for me. The many blessings, the many miracles. The many miracles. And yet when we do come to church, we want instant answer. You know, we want the deliverance. We want the big miracle. And yet we're not willing to do this part, which is take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow me. See, we have to be following. I'm going to try and move it along. Luke 11:2, and he said unto them, when he prays, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's how we give our choices to him. That's how we give our choices to him. I'm learning. I'm not there yet to pray. Lord, please, you tell me what to do. Please just make it so clear that I know which way to go and what to say. Please, Lord, because every time I do it by myself, it goes wrong. When we get to the place when we truly, truly mean that and give that, do you know that you have just taken away 90% of the devil's power over you? If you say, not my will, what is the devil going to do? If you can say that and mean it and start to practice it, you have just disarmed Satan completely. Because you're saying, okay, doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what happens, thy will be done. It doesn't matter if I get sick, thy will be done. I'm going to still praise you. When you get to that point, the devil's just going to have to look at you like you're crazy and shake his head and go away. Man, I got to come back with another plan because these people are crazy. I've kicked them when they're down. I've made them sick. I've made their children do this. They've lost their job. And they're still coming to church and still smiling and loving on God. When you have gotten to that point, you know you have given your choice to him. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be some power. There's going to be some deliverance. There's going to be some miracles happen. You're going to have an explosion of God's presence in your life because you're now living on the supernatural, because that is unnatural. That is unnatural. What Job went through was unnatural to come out the other end and say, though he slay me, you killed all my, you let my children die. A tornado came and took away the house. The people came and took away all my land and money. My wife is telling me I should curse God. Give it up. Just get it over with. And now I'm sick to death. And I'm in pain, oozing sores. Think about it. Think about it. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Now when God sees that kind of faith, there's going to be an explosion in your life. There is going to be a miracle in your life. There's going to be deliverance in your life. Amen. I tried to get the most haughty, arrogant picture I could of Satan, looking down his nose. See, he's the opposite of that. He's all about me, I, and myself. Isaiah 14:13, for thou hast said in thine heart, this is what Satan says, I will ascend unto the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also. I know at some of these baby showers, we've tried to do this game sometimes where you go around and you can't say I. It's pretty hard, isn't it? It's pretty hard to just have a conversation without saying I. Because we are so much into ourselves. But Jesus said, I don't come to do my will, but the Father's. Amen, amen. Matthew 26:13, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, it's okay to ask God to take the trials out of your life. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm in pain, Lord. Please take this out of my life. Please take this out of my life. But sometimes the way out is the way through. Sometimes God will not, and I've said this before, God won't deliver you from the fire. God delivers you in the fire. Right? And because God delivered them in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar was converted. Whoa, this isn't some made-up image God. This is the God of gods. Because I threw three people in there, and I see four walking around. In fact, the people who threw them in got killed. The people who threw them in got killed. So God, at least for me, most of the time, he delivers me in the fire. I plead, Lord, take me out of the fire. But most of the time, he delivers me in the fire. Somehow I look back and I say, how did I come through that? How did that happen? How could I possibly have survived? It looks impossible. It looks impossible. But when you have no other choice but to serve him. My dad used to tell me stories years ago, you know, when people were poor, they couldn't go to the doctor. They had no choice but to have a miracle. And you know what happened? There were more miracles. There were more miracles because when you don't have a choice but to go this way, God, you got to deliver. My father was miraculously healed several times. The one he tells a lot was he suffered from asthma even into his adult, to the point where he just even wanted to die. He used to say that because he would get these asthma attacks, and back then they had no medicine, you know, none of these inhalers, and he would just be paralyzed, just gasping like a fish out of water. And one summer he just decided, this has got to end, Lord, and he just started to pray and fast. And I can't remember the story completely, but he was miraculously healed. It just happened instantly. He never suffered from asthma again. But when we get desperate for God, when we give the choice back to him and say, Lord, you have got to take my will because my will try and fight. When you get that desperate and serious and God sees your heart, a broken and a contrite heart, the Bible says that's the kind of offering and sacrifice that he will always accept. See, it's not wrong to ask God to take away the things you don't like. Jesus did it. But you'll see there's a certain pattern here. There's a certain pattern here. Anyone guess the pattern? How many times in 2 Corinthians did Paul pray? I prayed 3 times. We see in the garden here, Jesus did the same thing. So after 3 times asking God to take something away, maybe he's not going to. Maybe he's going to deliver you through it. Amen? You notice that? He was in the garden. He went 3 times. He came back to the disciples. They were asleep. So after the 3rd time, Paul realized God said, my grace is sufficient. Your weakness is how my strength is perfected. That's how God gets glory, because even though in my weak, hopeless body, in my weak flesh, I can't do it, God somehow miraculously, when I submit my will to him, delivers me. He takes me through. He lifts me up. Psalms 48, he's the lifter up of my head. Amen. He will put you upon the rock. We used to sing that song, right? Amen. He took me out of the miry clay. He went away and prayed the 2nd time and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, that will be done. So when we pray about things, we always have to add that, nevertheless, that will be done. When we do that, I believe God is saying, okay, I see this person, I see this my daughter, I see this my son, is decided to give me back sovereignty. When we give God back sovereignty, you know what we're doing? We're giving him authority. It's like giving him a power of attorney. That's what we're doing. When we say, nevertheless, that will be done, it's like we're signing a power of attorney. We're saying, God, I know you gave me the ability to make stupid choices, but I'm signing my power of attorney back to you. When we do that, you know what we're doing? We're empowering God to start to act on our behalf. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to law school. I have not. So when you start getting those 30-page documents, which you say the third party of the third part, here to mention, you need to give it to an attorney. If you start signing stuff and you don't understand what you're doing, you're not going to end up in a big mess. When the devil puts these 30-page documents in front of you, you need to give your power of attorney to the King of Kings, because he knows what he's doing. You'll be signing yourself away. You know, a lot of these music stars, and I'm almost going to finish, I've seen some music contracts, because I used to be into the music business. I used to have a studio, and they're about this thick. My son had to sign one, and it, you know, he gave it to me to read, and I sat there and I read through all this thing, and I basically said to him, what this means is that they get all the money, is what it means. Any money you make, they can keep it if they want, and you're tied up and locked up. But there was one little clause that they didn't quite lock up, and that saved him in a certain situation. What we need to do is give God the power of attorney. He's there. He's pro bono. You know what that means? He's free. He just wants to act on your behalf. He's going to file a brief. The Bible says that he is the advocate. He ever liveth to do what? Make intercession. So when the devil says, you know how they messed up last week? He says, yeah, but it's paid in full. Well, what about the other day? Well, it's been paid in full. What about last month? Well, it's been paid in full. Amen. When you give the choice to him, all he has to do is point to Calvary, paid in full. It's not that we're innocent, but the debt has been paid. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. See, what we have to do is to give him our choices. I'm almost finished. Because the scripture says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common. What you're going... There's some people that talk to me. I've got to be careful what I say now. But there's some people who think that what they're going through is greater than Job. You know, when I listen to their story, man, it's like, oh, goodness. I just feel the weight. It's like 10 tons they're carrying. You know, it's just so heavy, that burden. But this is what the scripture says, not what I say. There hath no temptation taken you, but it's such as common. You're not going through, you're not in Iraq. They're not threatening to cut your head off, are they? Okay, now it might come, but it hasn't happened here yet. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. That means whatever you're going through, if you have God, you're able to go through it. I saw someone put something quite profound. Every now and then, with all the nonsense on Facebook, sometimes you see a few gems. And they said, it's not true that God will never give you more than you can carry. He always gives you more than you can carry because you're not supposed to be alone. If you try and carry it, you will mess up. You can't do it. But if he's with you, then you can make it. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation, with the trial, will always make a way of escape. Sometimes that way of escape is in the fire. But guess what? The Hebrew boys came out with not even a smell of smoke on them. Amen. Their clothes were just as if it had a force field around it. And they did. They had Jesus Christ. Because Nebuchadnezzar saw someone looking like the Son of God. Didn't we throw three in there? The Bible says that he may be a... So if you're going through something right now, look for the escape hatch. It's there. It's there. You just don't see it yet. Look for the way out. God has prepared a way out if you have put your trust in him. See, we need to look for the choice that God has prepared. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. When I have some choices, I'm always saying, God, show me the way out, please. There's some horrible choices. I don't want to even, none of them look good. I don't even want to choose. There's not one of them that look good. So God, there must be something in this, even though I can't see it. Show me. Bible tells us, if you have the Holy Spirit, listen, you're going to hear a word. There's going to be a circumstance that points you in the way out. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When he turned to the right hand and when he turned to the left. That's what Isaiah the prophet was told. There's going to be a direction. God will give you an out. But only if you have signed that power of attorney over to him. You keep trying to do like Lot and work it out. Yeah, you'll go down to Sodom, all right. And for a while, things will be great. But what you don't know is that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Let's stand today. As I told you, the good thing is, it's coming a day. I've prayed many times a kind of silly prayer. I said, Lord, just give me a button I could press where I didn't have to make any more choices. So then I couldn't mess up, right? It sounds silly, but I really want God to take all my choices. One of these days, that's going to happen. As I said, it's coming a time when we pass from this time dimension into eternity. And at that time, the ability to make a choice will end. It'll be too late to submit your choices then. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. that there's not going to be any delay no longer. But at that point, God is going to take back all the choices. Of course, we've already given him our choice. The Bible said if you should judge yourself now, you're passed from judgment. We've already given him our choices. Those who have been resisting, at that point, they're not going to have a choice. They're just going to be judged. So as you leave here tonight, I want you to meditate on all the things you think you've been doing by yourself that haven't been working out. And if you will honestly listen to this Spirit, if you will say, Lord, please take my choice. Maybe you weren't given the 5 talents. Maybe you didn't have a lot of choice. Whatever choice you have, give it to him and say, Lord, you take my life. It may not change instantly. It may not be overnight Cinderella story, but it will change. Your life is like a plant. When you plant the seed, you come back the next day and you see the full tree? No. You got to do some work on it. You got to water it with the word. You got to put some fertilizer on it. You got to invest some time in it. But if you do that, eventually you'll have a beautiful plant. That's how the Spirit of God will work upon you to change you and to put you into the direction where God can use you. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is give your choices to him, every single last one. When you do that, even when it looks impossible, you're going to have such an explosion of miraculous power in your life. It will be unbelievable, because what you've done is just told Satan, there's nothing left for you. You can't get to me, because whatever happens, I'm going to trust God. See, when you've truly chosen God, sometimes the shepherd will lead you where? Valley of the shadow of death. Now, how could that be? How could the shepherd lead you that way? Because it's his choice. He's got a reason for it. But the amazing thing is, the rod and the staff will be right there with you. It's not always the green pastures. But if you're truly given your choice, the shepherd, wherever he leads, eventually it's going to be goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And you know where it's going to lead back into? The house of the Lord. Amen. I don't always give an altar call at Bible study, but I think it'd be a good thing if everybody, we just come down to the front and we close this Bible study with a prayer and ask God to take our choices, all of them, not any of them left. Sign that power of attorney in your mind and say, Lord, I want you to represent me, because I can't fight the devil, but when you represent me, you can bring out all the stuff. You can bring out the paid in full. You can show him where it's not because I'm innocent, but it's because you have said paid in full. And let's just close in a unified prayer tonight and just ask God to move in our lives. Let's get the faith of Job. Let's get the faith of Abraham. No matter what God has asked you to do, no matter how difficult it is, if you're sure it's God that's asked you, you cannot do wrong by listening. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts tonight. Not just our heads, but our hearts. Let's bow down our hearts in worship before the King of Kings.